Today we're going to talk about one of America's, or maybe just MAGA's, favorite topics, gender identity.
Gender identity? Oh.
In 2019, they was the Merriam-Webster Word of the Year, and they expanded the definition to include the non-binary pronoun meaning. In this episode, we're going to talk about maybe one of the very first non-binary Americans.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Weird World, the podcast. I'm Dean.
I'm Carrie.
Carrie today is going to talk about something that she teased just a second ago that I'm just now finding out about, as is the norm. But she's going to talk about one of the first non-binary, oh, you mean openly non-binary Americans.
Perhaps.
Lived, okay. All right. Oh, you're being a little coy, huh? Mm-hmm. So someone who lived as neither male nor female, but I'm assuming back in the olden days, otherwise, why are we here today?
Correct.
Okay.
And, you know, I talked about how, I mean, people get very flustered and aggrieved over the word they these days. Mm-hmm. They, them, pronouns being a huge issue.
It's a little confusing. It's a little confusing.
It's not that
it confusing. It is a lot confusing because it means something else. I'm a big advocate of just making up a new word, a brand new word that means that, because they means something completely different and it means plural. When it's not used plural, it's the dumbest idea in the world to use that word for that. I totally get having a title for that, but I think it's be festigio.
Well, I have a different take. But one you're not even gonna, you don't even know about.
Okay. It's like semi-accusatory. I don't think you know nothing of my word.
I don't like pronouns. Period.
Okay.
We don't need We don't need gendered words at all.
I in could my not agree opinion. More. As you know, I don't say the words actress or waitress or any ever. Mm-hmm. It's just dumb.
Yeah. So why do we need gendered pronouns? Just get rid of them.
It's even worse in like what, French and Spanish, where they have words
I know.
That are given a gender,
which chair is has to be masculine or feminine. And yeah, I don't get that.
I know. Oddly, dildo is feminine. Doesn't make any sense. I guess maybe it, well, sorry to explain.
That may or may not even be true. I don't think you even know what the word is. Well, okay. So we're going to go back in time so you can set your timeline, Dean.
Okay.
To 1762.
1762.
Cumberland, Rhode Island.
Wow, we are gone. This is not even a state. It's a colony.
Yeah.
Damn, okay.
Pre-American Revolution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A young woman named Jemima Wilkinson was born.
Was she anyone's aunt? And did she make pancakes?
Well, she was one of 9 children, I believe.
Then I'm going to assume yes on both those questions.
So she probably, I couldn't confirm whether or not she made pancakes, but.
Well, she probably got hotcakes or flapjacks back
she
in those days.
She probably did have
What was her last name again?
Wilkinson.
Wilkinson, got it. Okay.
And her father, Jeremiah, was a prosperous farmer.
In Rhode Island?
Yeah.
Wow. It seems like one farmer would take up the entire state if it was in California.
No.
Or Texas.
I don't know what her birth order was, but when she was a child, her mother died and Jeremiah was left with a whole bunch of kids. This time in the colonies. We're going to talk a lot about, this is very religious, okay. This episode.
Oh, good. Non-controversial.
And I am going to confess, I don't know. I have very limited religious knowledge, so this is going to be fun.
Carrie dropped out of seminary school in like the first quarter. So.
And everybody's going to think I'm dumb. I did go to CCD, which is the Catholic classes that little kids take. All we did was color pictures of doves and crosses and
doves and crosses. Yeah. All right. Did you color Jesus?
Probably.
Okay. Did you use like red for blood when he was in the spear? Part where he was speared?
No. I don't even think they taught us about stuff like that.
Wow. They had it easy on you.
And then my mom yanked us out of those classes altogether.
In anger. She was angry with the Pope, I think.
Yes. She wasn't. But, okay. Well, she probably was angry with the Pope, mm-hmm. but she was angry with the entire Catholic religion.
Wow.
So
she was the first person who found out about the Irish laundries. True. Fact.
Yeah.
Made it up.
No. So, okay. So here we go. Religion 101.
Okay.
Not really.
From someone who just said they know nothing about religion.
But so around this time, mid-1700s, there apparently was a lot of religious curiosity and experimentation going on.
Has been a lot more than people realize all throughout Western European history. I mean, England was in always had these little offshoots of people that, I mean, all throughout, going way, way back with these little offshoots, and they were Christian usually, but they were very non-conformist Christianity.
Yeah.
And that's much more of an undercurrent on that than people, I think most people realize.
Yeah, maybe we need to get back to this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I mean, I'm talking about like the curiosity and experimentation and, you know, trying to be a little bit different. But anyway, also, something I did not know, Rhode Island was settled by Puritans who didn't fit in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Roger Williams.
They kind of wanted to break away. Were they less puritanical? Is that
they were more tolerant, more a little more free-thinking than the Puritan folks who founded the Massachusetts Bay Colony were like today. They'd be ultra-fundamentalist Christian types, very literal kind of thing. And Roger and his group were like, just chill out a little bit. We're going to go over here to the south a little bit. You leave us alone. We'll leave you alone. It didn't actually work out that way, but
yeah,
we have Rhode Island because of that.
So it was the home of religious freedom. They had much
relatively
more. Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freedom from Puritanism. Diversity, controversial. It was kind of a time of upheaval, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's where, like, people, if you were accused of witchcraft in Massachusetts and you tried to escape, they would run to Rhode Island, right? There's got to be a Family Guy episode about it.
Probably, I'm assuming. And Quahog.
You would think, if not, you guys can take it.
Okay.
So there were a lot of Quakers in Rhode Island.
Okay. Before they went to Pennsylvania? I thought, well, Pennsylvania was all around. That's interesting. I guess just they didn't all go to Pennsylvania.
No, okay. There were also in Rhode Island. And
two Jehovah's Witnesses to annoy all their neighbors by coming to their door every Sunday.
Well, the Quakers are actually called the Religious Society of Friends, which just makes them seem so nice.
It is good. And it's not as impressive as the Latter-day Saints, which is, by the way, a flex move. You know, oh, we're all saints? Really? You're all saints? Because you have a lot of murder. But so,
well, I happen to like the Quakers.
Yeah.
And one of their things is they just sit and meditate in silence until they feel the inward light of God.
Or not off.
Yeah, probably. They like to use the pronouns thee and thou instead of the more formal you. Their thing was more kind of like, weird, huh?
That is weird.
Why is
thee
you
and thou
so
was
formal?
Less formal than you? Okay.
Uh-huh. Huh. And they believed very much in using plain language because it was equalizing.
Okay.
Right? If you're using only fancy words because you're educated, then you're not equal with the less educated people who don't use fancy words like you
like
do.
Like, methinks you're a dickhead kind of a thing. You wouldn't use.
And this is why I like the Quakers. They didn't believe in using honorifics like Mr. and Mrs. and Miss.
What about the oats? I mean, you've got to add one more thing. The oats, delicious oats. I mean, that's the thing they're most famous for.
And great hats and great hairdos.
Phenomenal hats. Yep.
So anyway, if I had to pick a religion.
You'd be a Quaker?
I'd be a Quaker. And I do have Quaker ancestors.
You do? Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you name the only Quaker president?
Nope.
Richard Nixon, ironically, for someone who was something of a warmonger.
He wasn't a real,
I'm assuming his lapse by the time he was, you know.
You literally can't be a Quaker.
Carpet bombing Vietnam.
Yeah. Quakers are pacifists.
Well, him not so much.
Yeah.
I should probably look that up, but I'm pretty sure he was a Quaker. I think so. Or at least raised a Quaker.
So the Quaker principles, there's an acronym. It's called SPICES.
SPICES. That seems a little spicy for the Quakers.
Know.
They don't feel like a spicy people, but okay.
Simplicity, peace, integrity, community, equality, and stewardship.
Oh, I thought it was suntanning. Okay, that makes better. That makes a lot more sense.
The Wilkinson family, they were Quakers. They were a good Quaker family. And at one point when Jemima was a young woman, She started going to the religious meetings of a local evangelical sect called the New Light Baptists. Mm. They were taking a radical approach to worshiping God. Mm. They stressed that you could be in control of your own salvation.
The Baptists, like now, they're looked on as what they are. They tend to be a pretty fundamentalist, pretty reactionary, mm-hmm. very conservative part denomination. In the early days, they were quite the opposite. Yep. They were pretty rebellious.
Which was a very new idea at the time.
It was kind of anti-hierarchical.
Yeah. Even Quakers, it was very, you had to follow the strict rules, set out, whatever, right?
Probably.
And somebody else controlled it, right? You didn't have any control over.
Yeah. So there were, the whole idea of having, right? The Baptists, like, they didn't, at first, I think, they didn't even have priests.
Correct? Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. So Quakers, even though they were very nice and I like them, they did have a rule that you weren't allowed to go to somebody else's services.
Okay.
So they're
tolerant to an extent. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Jemima got in trouble.
Oh.
And in October 1776, they kicked her on out.
Really?
I think they gave her fair warning.
Okay.
They kept telling her.
Three more times and you are out. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Apparently, the Wilkinsons they didn't like to follow rules.
Ooh, how old was she at this time, by the way?
The whole family.
Say she was 11.
1776.
Oh, so
she was born in 1762.
15 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Does she have to leave the family home? Like, get out of Rhode Island?
No, she's kicked out of the Quaker religion.
Oh, the Quaker religion. Oh, okay. Well, that's not that big.
No, I said her and the family, they were a rebellious bunch.
I thought they're going to kick her out of the province.
No. Okay. Two of her older brothers were also kicked out by the Quakers for participating in some military preparation for the Revolution.
Well, I mean, that's pretty basic. You don't do that. No.
You can't. Yeah. No, you you got to be a pacifist.
It's not okay.
But, these were important times. Stuff was going on.
Oh, yes. Revolutionary War now.
They were doing their duty.
Okay.
And then one of her sisters named Patience, which is a lovely name.
Quakers have the best names.
Well, she was kicked out because this seems even probably worse in God's eyes than going to war. They didn't even go to war. They just were helping prepare stuff.
They were beating plowshares into swords. I said swords, and I'm going to stand by.
Had an illegitimate child.
I was thinking something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she was in good company, The rest of her family was probably not very upset with her because she was upset. She was devastated. She still loved the Quaker Church and she did not want to leave it. And then about a month later, some ship rolled into Providence with a bunch of, I think, British what are they called? Prisoners?
Prisoners. Okay. Prisoners. All right. Like prisoners of war, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they were a diseased bunch.
Ooh. British soldiers who were caught during the Revolutionary War. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Got it.
And so these diseased soldiers got a lot of the colonists sick.
Well.
Including Jemima.
Where they put them?
I don't know.
Often they kept them on ships. There were prison ships and they were horrific conditions.
Yeah.
Because you'd think they'd isolate them. Oh, well.
It got out.
Okay.
Those germs traveled and got
sick
out.
Sick Brits.
It was very likely typhus. And so this is about a month after the Quaker Church kicked her out. She got super, super sick. Very high fever, delirious, was basically kind of in a coma. Her family was very sure she was going to die. They called for a doctor to come, who was kind of far away, and he came. They were basically on a death watch waiting for her to die.
3.5 miles. It's like took him an hour and a half to get there.
So then instead of actually dying, she kind of just miraculously wakes up, gets up, and says that Jemima Wilkinson has died and that at the very moment of her death, Jemima's body was reanimated by a genderless spirit sent from heaven.
Wow.
This was God's work.
Ballsy.
Mm-hmm. Jemima had this vision, or whoever is now inhabiting Jemima's body, had a vision where two angels wearing gold crowns and flowing white robes came down from heaven and gave her the message that she is to assume the body that God has prepared for the spirit to dwell in.
Hmm. Is she still conscious? Is Jemima still there? Are we talking to
spirit? This is the new spirit.
Okay. And this new spirit is not telling anyone their name yet.
They do.
Okay.
And it's not really a name. They say they will be going.
Humph. It's just humph.
The new name, it's cuter than humph.
Oh.
It's Puff.
Puff. Oh, that's cool.
The public universal friend.
Oh, I see. It's an acronym. I thought it was like Puff the Magic Dragon. So it's public universal friend. This really does sound like terrible science fiction fantasy from the 1980s or 90s. But okay. Mm-hmm. But it's real.
Well.
No, like 50s sci-fi, you know. Never mind.
So they proclaim they are a religious prophet who can lead people to their own salvation, which is very New Light Baptist, right?
I suppose. Sure. I'll take your word for it.
Puff starts dressing in loose flowing clerical robes. In different colors, sometimes black, purple, or gray.
Well, I mean, look at what the priest and the pope wear. That's pretty gender neutral at best.
Well, but so in
those red shoes from Pope Benedict, you know, they're...
well, what you're describing sounds very much how the Puff was dressing.
Okay.
But that was also, you know, the robes are what male clergymen would wear.
Yeah.
And so they would also wear a white or purple kerchief or cravat around their neck, which is how men would dress at the time, but also wore women's shoes, probably because they had women's size feet, I would imagine.
Probably.
Wore their hair kind of long like a woman would have, but then eventually it looked like it was short on in the front, like a men's hair, but long ringlets in the back.
Oh.
So, business in the front, party in the back.
The first mullet. The mullet. Thank you, Puff. Appreciate that. Took a long time for that to catch back on, but once it did.
But wouldn't cover their hair up when they were indoors like women had to do.
Now,
Quaker women had the little half bonnet thing.
I'm going to ask you, was Puff already referring to themselves as they? Did they use, you know, would Puff use a pronoun about?
I think Puff discouraged any pronouns. They didn't want to be... Just call me Puff. Kind of pronoun. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Right. So I don't know exactly what people, definitely not she, her.
Okay.
So either they or probably nothing.
My guess is nothing, but there is times where that's very awkward.
So they had a very androgynous look.
Yeah.
And when they would go outside and would need to wear a hat, they wore a Quaker style man's hat. Okay. But it would be a men's hat.
I thought a Red Sox hat, but
no.
Flipped backward.
So they refused to answer to the name Jemima Wilkinson. And if people tried to use it, they would either ignore them or chastise them.
Wow.
And their basic message was that the second coming is nigh. And
of course.
Jesus Christ is returning soon. Mm. This is kind of the
Been
universal.
Been saying that for a long time now, people.
And that their job is to warn people that judgment day is coming and ye need to repent in order to be saved. I mean, the same old story.
It's amazing that still works.
Mm-hmm.
And it does.
So the Puff originally starts preaching in Cumberland. Obviously, it's where they live. And they go to a Quaker meeting to tell all the Quakers about their transformation. The Quakers tell them basically sit down and shut up. And the Puff doesn't. They keep talking. And then another Quaker says, sit down and shut up. And they keep talking.
And then the Quakers beat the shit out of Puff.
Because there are like records of this. Like five Quakers had to tell him, sit down and shut up.
Tell them. Thank you very much, Carrie.
And the Puff tells them that they can't be silent unless they put their hands to my mouth. Like basically, you're going to have to physically...
That's challenging Quakers to be something physical is not that much of a flex, but...
They probably got kicked out.
Probably deserved it.
So then the Puff starts going around to any meeting house, you know, they can find to preach their message. Never brought a Bible
with
them.
Birthday parties, just get-togethers, soirees, Puff was the worst guest in all of Rhode Island.
Never brought a Bible, and because they could quote long sections of scripture from memory. Didn't need.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, it's a spiritual being.
Obviously. Yeah. And, oh, so I kind of thought I would come upon this in my notes. The followers, for the most part, apparently did use he, him pronouns.
Oh.
Based on their own writings. I don't think they, maybe just referring back to them, but I don't think they would use them to their face I think they would be upset.
Do you think it's because the assumption was angels are men? Because in the Bible, named angels are all male.
Yeah, so
I
maybe.
Wonder if that's why. And they assumed if it's a spiritual being, that sounds like an angel. So
well,
it's a male angel.
Well,
mangel.
But also, women aren't supposed to be preachers.
True.
So everything the Puff was doing would be against
but we're
all of the rules.
They all know who Puff really was and what gender Jemima was. So that's what you think they'd say. I would have thought they'd say she.
They were flexible, Dean.
I guess.
They were a little bit more open-minded than...
Unlike Puff, who sounds a little bit closed-minded to me.
So the Wilkinson family was actually pretty supportive of Puff. The father, Jeremiah, and several siblings become her followers. Hmm. I said her. That's bad.
Yeah, you're a terrible person.
And actually went with them when they would travel and preach throughout Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania. Hmm. So what do you think is going to happen to the rest of the Wilkinson family?
I think they are going to be ostracized, sent packing. Never, their oat stipend will be cut off.
Well, they all get expelled from the Quaker Church. Mm-hmm. Like,
you know, that's not unreasonable.
No, absolutely not.
It's pretty damn reasonable.
So then the Puff is going around preaching their message.
The Puff calls himself the Puff? You're saying the Puff.
Well, because it's the
I know, but
public universal.
But did they
friend.
Call him Puff? Like the name is Puff.
I don't know.
Puff,
if
what's up right now? What's you know, Puff?
I don't know. I saw P period U period F.
Yeah.
So that's a little
maybe
bit
they call
cumbersome.
Him PUF.
Yeah.
Oh my God! P-U-F. Look, PUF is coming. Let's go.
Puff is way cuter.
It is.
I'm going to go with Puff.
I agree.
They started gaining some followers, and a lot of their followers were Quakers who had been expelled. For one reason or another, a lot were the Patriots who were expelled for participating
war.
Okay. In war stuff.
Okay.
And just, you know, Quakers looking for something new. Just, I mean, basically how Jemima started. And some, you know, we're not talking about like the lowest citizens who, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There were some very prominent followers. Some wealthy, respectable people, including a judge, an army captain, and the son of a shipbuilder.
A shipbuilder?
Yeah. So here are some of the things that the Puff was offering in their message. Salvation, and it was a message of universal salvation.
But only for a little while because everything's ending in shortly.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when you need to be, that's when you have your salvation.
Is
at the end.
Right. Yeah,
right?
That's true.
It's not during this life.
My bad.
It's in the next life, Dean. I can't believe I know something about religion that you don't know.
I don't know if I got that far.
Spiritual empowerment, which they would do things like faith healing and prophecy and stuff like that. But they also empowered their followers to engage in these things, including public preaching for both men and women followers. Which is very contrary to probably every other religion in the colonies. They stressed free will, opposing slavery, which also the Quakers did too, but convinced their followers who owned slaves to free them. And they also had black followers. Several.
Freed slaves. That makes sense.
I didn't say if they were or not, but
I would.
They were very friendly and welcoming. They preached humility and hospitality toward everyone. They housed and fed visitors, including visitors who would come just because they were curious and wanted to see what it was all about.
Or hungry.
Yeah. Yep.
Sleepy.
And indigenous people, who I guess would just wander into a meeting room. I know.
Yeah.
They promoted celibacy, interestingly.
Wow.
But did not make it a requirement, but just...
you know, you're going to end if all your followers are celibate. Mm-hmm. That's not a great call, but okay.
But just that it would be a good way to live. And they themselves were celibate. And because this kind of creates the possibility for female followers to break away from the traditional wife and mother role, right? If you're celibate, it's meaning you're not getting married and, you know, you're freed up to do other endeavors.
Yes. But the economic conditions of the time, there weren't a lot of other endeavors they could do.
Well, the puff was going to create them. They disfavored marriage, but accepted it because they knew they were going to need to have some babies born and have new members. But because they thought that women should obey God rather than men.
Well, the rest of Christianity makes it very convenient in that man is the voice of God in mm-hmm. the home, and that seems fair and logical and well thought out.
Well, Puff didn't believe in that. So they gained a lot of followers also, as you might imagine, had a lot of detractors. Mm. They ended up having to leave Rhode Island in 1782, and they went to Philadelphia to try to expand their ministry. And as you know, there are lots of Quakers already in Pennsylvania. In the next year, they formally established the Society of Universal Friends while they were in Philadelphia. However,
they stole the Quaker name and just added the word universal to it?
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, that seems kind of cheaty, but that's okay, I guess.
They're universal friends.
Exactly.
It's very different.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now they're being accused of being a fraud and a blasphemer by people in Philadelphia. They think it's weird that followers basically would deny that the Puff was ever Jemima Wilkinson. Like, you know, this is not a female and it's not Jemima Wilkinson.
I find myself on the side of the Philly, and these are the same people who would later throw batteries at Santa Claus at a baseball game. So, but still, they're kind of, they're on board here. I'm on board with them right now.
And like at the meetings and stuff, there would be hecklers there yelling things like, "What are you?
Carrie, this is Philadelphia.
I know.
It's been going on for a long time.
Are you a male or a female?" Which is very disrespectful.
It is.
And the Puff would say, "I am that I am."
Okay.
And at one point, they were accused of attempted murder.
Puff was?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like Puff.
There was a quote from an article, and they named the person Sarah something, but no details on how or what they were accusing them.
Sarah was the victim?
Yeah. How or why they think the Puff murdered them, but obviously it didn't go anywhere. And at one point, there was a riot outside of the house where the Puff was staying. They were, you know, screaming and yelling and throwing things and breaking windows and stuff.
It could have been a baseball game, but go ahead.
So the public sentiment in Philadelphia against Puff and the followers kind of got to the point where it's like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So they decided they're going to move out to the frontier.
Oof.
They're going to go a little bit west.
Okay. It would have been amazing if they wound up in Utah and were there already.
Not that far west.
Brigham came. Okay.
No.
Illinois?
Okay. No.
Wait, there wasn't in Illinois then. There was not that far west. This is the 1780s?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of west.
They wanted to go somewhere. No, 1790s. They wanted to go somewhere where they could live peacefully until the Second Coming actually happened.
Well, it already seems like it's a little overdue, given what they've been saying for how long they've been saying it, but that's fine.
Well, they ended up acquiring some land in Western New York.
Okay. Yeah, no, seriously. There's that famous saying that some politician said, "Go west, young man," and they literally meant like Western New York.
Yep.
So I was like, whoa.
But it was essentially the wilderness
at
the time.
Yeah.
And it's near, I think it's called the Finger Lakes or something like that.
That's I think, is that more central? Whatever. Go ahead.
I don't know. But so they formed the town of Jerusalem.
Okay.
And they set up their little society.
Are they going to turn into vampires and call it Jerusalem's Lot? And,
no. And Stephen King's going to write
please,
about it?
Please say yes. Please.
You have to listen to
this me. Has to become a vampire episode. Please, 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 please.
They built mills, harvested crops, and established a land trust.
And feasted on the blood of?
The Puff couldn't, own land themselves, you know, because legally they couldn't sign a deed or whatever.
Why? Because their name wasn't like real.
Yeah.
Like, that's not your name. You need to sign it as Jemima. And Puff saying, I ain't going to sign it as Jemima. This ain't Jemima.
Maybe they were against that for themselves because they're not a, you know, they're a spirit. Mm. They're not.
That's true.
You know, really actually not a human person,
no,
right?
No.
But so, but the members would do this. And I think at the time, it was probably mostly the men members that could do it. Because I don't think women could at the time anyway. Which is probably also the reason why Puff couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But the most committed members were unmarried women, and there ended up being a group, like a core group of unmarried women, and they were like I forget what the name was, but like the sisterhood of the friends,
traveling,
the Universal Friends or whatever.
Pants.
You're obsessed with the sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
I am.
Every time their sisterhood comes up, you talk about traveling
pants. How else do you finish the word sisterhood, but with traveling pants, obviously?
So they were actually given the leading roles in the community, and the men's roles were basically to... So the women were the leaders in the community. Mm-hmm. The men were the ones like the liaisons with the rest of the world.
Okay.
Because... they're the ones that could go out if they needed to have a job or to sign a contract or, you know.
They're necessary evils.
They
did some stud work, if you know what I'm saying, but that's about all they were used for. They were used, literally.
And then, at some point, some of the early followers started pulling away from the Puff.
Oh, no. A schism already?
Well, they've been around for quite a while.
This is 1790s. I thought it was in the 1790s.
Back to
1777, so it's not that long. I'm not that impressed.
I mean,
you're talking to the person who writes down timelines.
I know, but I didn't tell you exactly.
You said they became Puff in 1777 is when Jemima became Puff. She pufferized.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they moved to Western New York in the 1790s. And then sometime after that, these men... get a little disillusioned with Puff.
Okay.
I'm surprised it took them this long. And because they basically started to resent that women are in charge.
Well, I mean, you know.
So what do men do when
they mansplain what they do?
When they're mad at a lady?
Hold on. I think I know this. There's actually there's a lot of possible responses here. I'm going to say in this case, treated Puff with very paternally and not stood up for paternalistically and said, don't worry, your pretty little head, we'll take over.
No, because the sisterhood probably would have put a stop to that, I would imagine.
Maybe they're traveling for their pants at the time, so they weren't there and they took advantage of that, of their absence.
They decided they were going to have the Puff arrested. For blasphemy, because
they're followers of Puff, and they're gonna have Puff arrested for blasphemy, which makes them blasphemers.
They're disillusioned. They want to break away.
Okay, just break away then. Go do your own thing, bro.
No, they can't just break away. Jesus. They'll also want to take stuff.
Oh, sure,
right?
That makes sense. Yes,
they can't just leave and let them exist on the land and everything that they feel probably that they helped establish.
Well, they signed those contracts, mm-hmm. Gary, so.
And it was blasphemy because they were saying that Puff is basically claiming to be Jesus Christ, which I don't remember Puff ever saying anything about that. I don't either. So they, you know, reported this, I guess, to the authorities. There were few attempts to arrest the Puff. The first time, the Puff was quite an accomplished horse person.
Oh.
So they escaped on horseback.
Nice.
Because they were out riding somewhere. The next time, it was while they were at home, and the women actually drove the men off who had come to arrest them and tore their clothes.
Nuh-uh. That got kind of sexy pretty quick there, didn't it?
And then the third time, they sent a posse of 30 men.
Wow.
Surrounded the home where the Puff was at midnight, broke down the door with an axe, and then there was a doctor among the posse who, once they got in the house, this doctor...
We'll call him Posse Doctor. Go ahead.
Yep. He said that the Puff was too sick to be taken from the home,
I don't know. I don't know about that. But Puff was acting.
But made a deal with them that, you know, on a certain time, you need to come and appear before a judge.
Mm-hmm.
and the Puff follows rules, apparently. So they showed up.
I thought at one point Puff, who had very slender hands, was going to slip out of handcuffs and get away that way. Let's assume that they did.
Well, they showed up at the courthouse. This is a New York State court. And the judge decided that there's no legal offense here. Well, they haven't done anything illegal. Blasphemy.
This judge doesn't sound like a man.
Blasphemy is not against the law. So then they invited the Puff to give a sermon to all the people that were in the courtroom.
The judge did?
Yeah.
You know what? You're fascinating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the sound of your voice. Go ahead and preach to the court. Testify.
Yep.
Literally.
So these guys, still upset with the Puff.
Well, at this point, they were just pretty much publicly humiliated, so they're twice as mad.
They're looking for a way where they can legally get back at the Puff. So they decided, we got to go into the society's land holdings.
Mm.
So none of the deeds are in the Puff's name, so they use this to challenge the Puff's privacy rights and property rights.
Okay.
And they won.
Those bastards. Typical men.
So I don't know exactly, you know, what they do, how they take some land, whatever. But things are kind of on the downswing now.
Mm-hmm.
By 1819, the Puff's following had dwindled for many reasons. Celibacy.
That probably will do it.
Pretty high.
It's like the Shakers, them. Right? It's like there's like two old women left. They're barely making any more tables and fireplaces or cabinets. I'm not sure what they make.
They're not Shakers.
Who are those? That
Shakers?
That sect?
Shakers are cabinets.
What's the sect that they're celibate and there's like nothing but a handful
that's
of
Shakers.
Women left? Okay, then.
Yeah.
They are Shakers then. The sect.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the cabinet. The sect.
Who is it that makes the fireplaces?
It's someone else.
Is it?
They're in Pennsylvania, aren't they?
It's either Quakers or... Oh, it's Amish.
Amish.
Amish
fireplaces. And oddly,
so
also, Amish transistor radios. True. Fact. Weird. Doesn't make sense. Amish plasma TVs are very popular right now.
So the Puff got sick.
Oh.
And they had congestive heart failure.
Mm.
And in the summer of 1819, it was all over. Died on July 1st. Some of the followers were still around, and they believed that they would rise from the dead again, just like Jemima Wilkinson did.
Mm.
So
decomposition wins.
Laid out the body and decided to wait. Okay. Let's just wait.
What time was in
for
July
it to
too?
Happen.
Okay,
so
really good call.
And they waited, and they waited. And then finally, they decided this isn't going to happen.
Things started falling off.
So they buried them in like an unmarked grave on the land they had left. And then, you know, once the Puff was gone.
6 foot by 6 foot.
The society kind of quickly dissolved. And by the mid 1840s, it was completely gone. Mm. Just faded away.
And that's when... That's when people started disappearing from that part of New York. Am I right? Bodies started being found with puncture marks in their throat, complete loss of blood. Go on.
So, what do you think? Do you think they were the first non-gender non-conforming person?
Sure.
I don't think so.
No. What? Who was? You know, they're supposedly, they've heard of Elio Gabulus? Or something like that. I could be wrong. That was a Roman emperor, one of the later Roman emperors when Rome was you know, getting invaded every now and again by whatever. What's what I'm looking for? People who invaded Rome. You know what I'm talking about? Visigoths and those guys.
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah, this is not my area of expertise. It's yours.
Cut out, obviously. okay. Anyway. So... I think it's like something like Elio Gabulus was a Roman emperor and was for all intents and purposes, for sure, I guess like a trans person. And openly, you know.
Yeah.
Very openly, very obviously. I don't know a whole lot about it, but
yeah.
I just remember reading that somewhere.
I think it was probably more common than we would think.
Yeah.
I did read, there was a blurb about, well, we all... kind of know the story about Deborah Sampson.
Yes.
This was around the same time, right? Wasn't she Revolutionary War?
Yes.
So she was a woman who wanted to fight, and so she dressed up like a
man. But that
was
kind of different. That was the whole Mulan effect. That was for purpose as opposed to this, how they lived.
But I think, didn't they live after that as a man?
I don't know.
And then there was, I guess.
Mulan or Deborah Sampson?
Who are you Deborah Sampson.
Okay. Mulan, I don't think so. I think she got married and became the Emperor of China. I've never seen the movie.
She didn't become the Emperor of China. I think she ended up marrying her. Her soldier boss or whatever. Because they fell in love.
Did she come from a one-parent household?
No.
Wow. What the hell happened to Disney there? They pay for two voices, huh? I'm shocked.
I'm pretty sure she had two parents.
They almost never do, but okay.
I know she had a dad. But so anyway, and there was a blurb about like 100 years earlier, and I think this was in England, obviously. It was an intersex person was born, and outwardly, you know, it was declared a boy. So his name was Thomas something. But he ended up going by Thomasina. But people knew. And I guess they were basically ordered to wear both male and female clothing.
Ordered?
Yeah.
So everyone knew?
Yeah.
Really?
So it's
for other people's benefit.
This person is not basically they are both male and female. And I didn't get the feeling that it was like the horror. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that kind of stuff was more common.
I was trying to find who was the first. Well, that was wrong. The first, I mean, what would you say? This was the first trans person? Or?
No, I wouldn't call them trans.
What would you call them?
Gender nonconforming, non-binary.
I think we've had them for a long time.
I do too.
I don't know that we can go back and find one.
No, I don't think so. But I think
you would have already. I feel like
I think they were all, they always existed.
I know it
might not have been identified, or you know, we've always had tomboys.
Yeah,
we've always had girls that are not comfortable wearing quote unquote girly clothes. So they shop in the young men's department.
I know you've seen like in some sort of progressive movies, you've seen that like Native Americans had
many genders.
Men of the time that were sort of, you know, gender fluid. The indigenous people there, they were called some were called Two Spirit people. Like in the Canadian, the First Nations people had people who were called Two Spirit people, and they were effectively gender fluid. And Hawaii has a long history. Apparently, they're called Mahu, or non-binary people in Hawaii, that have been around for a very long time.
Yeah. I did read in something that there are certain Native American cultures that they have several recognized genders, like 5, 6, 7. I don't know what that.
Really?
I didn't see a list or how they describe
that
them.
That just seems greedy. That's too many.
Yeah.
You're just trying to hog all the genders at that point. That's not right. Do you know who the first person was who is legally contracted and could legally, in the United States at least, was legally non-gender, non-binary gender?
Mm-mm.
Elisa Ray Shoup. And when did this happen? This court case, I guess? This declaration? The first American officially non-binary, legally recognized on like official documents and things like that.
I'm going to say 1850.
2016.
Oh my God.
In the state of Oregon. 2016.
Are you kidding
me? Well, think about it. It wasn't really a thing. Like I said, we didn't think of it like you think of it now. Really. And whoever that person was, you know, the world was not ready to do that. So they just probably pretended to be one of the other or the other gender for purposes of functioning. So the first one, 2016.
Wow. I thought, well, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it is only very recently in the last several years where like forms and stuff.
Yes.
Have.
Exactly.
And very recently where you see like you're just filling out a survey or you're filling out something and where they say just for like demographic reasons, they want to know whether you're male or female and where they put something non-binary.
There were the Chevalier Dion was an 18th century and early 19th century French spy, diplomat, soldier who lived the first part of their life as a man doing those things, but then the whole second part of their life, they lived as a woman.
Yeah.
And so they're, you know, considered, again, sort of non-binary. So I guess there are some more out there.
Yeah. There's a story of Gentleman Jack.
Yes.
Who is British.
Yes.
I think she's
I've heard of that.
A lesbian.
In all likelihood, sure. List of non-binary writers, list of fictional non-binary characters, list of okay. So there's a few out there.
Yeah.
Not a lot. But historically, some peoples have, you know, been more accepting of it than others. Here in the U.S., not so much.
Mm-mm. Getting better.
Getting a lot better, but slowly but surely. And
yeah,
causing more. It doesn't need to be controversial. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect you.
How,
go about your business.
How does it make your life worse for somebody else to... Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, knock yourself out. Admittedly, the word "they" needs to be changed because all it does is create confusion. Let's make up a name. I won't make up a name for obvious reasons, but someone should.
You know, they've tried and
just
it just
do it.
Has
just do it.
Never...
Accept it and go for it. It's anything is better than "they" because they.
But Dean, everybody who's not you is going to complain about whatever it is. So
I don't.
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter. Just a sound. A sound for a word that's not used already. That's all I'm asking. Especially when it's a very specific word that means very different than what they're using. That's just
it doesn't. And we've had this discussion a million times. It doesn't always mean something very different.
Not always.
Can I finish?
But a lot.
If somebody's talking about somebody that they don't know,
mm-hmm.
You know, like I heard a story about what's a name that could be Pat Smith,
Chris.
Parker. Pat Smith, they went to my, you know, they, mm-hmm. they blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You use they.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if Pat is a he or she. Same thing.
Far more likely it's going to be confusing because it has respect for plural versus singular.
I mean, it's used in conversation all the time.
98% of the time, it's when it's used like that, it has a potential confusion. There's no reason for it. Let's just go on. And again, I won't make up that word. That would be presumptuous. That would be beyond mansplaining, but someone needs to and fast and make it a step.
I can't even remember what some of the proposed words were.
Hishi or something like that was one, right? But it's with like a slash or something like that. That's an equally dumb idea.
That's terrible.
But just there probably is a foreign word like that. I bet you some language probably has something like that, don't they?
I don't know.
Gender neutral pronouns. Let's just do it. Come on, people.
Let's get rid of pronouns. Period.
Oh, you're asking.
That's easier.
Much, I don't know. I don't think that's easier.
I do.
Well, one or the other, but we got to do it fast because the world's going to crumble and the moral degradation of the country continues. Well, thank you, Carrie, of the story of Puff, not the magic dragon, but the person who was one of the first non-binary Americans in a prominent way.
Yes.
There's a lot of others. They just kept quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Until next time, this is the Weird World Podcast. See you around.
Thanks for listening.